This is Stephen Adams.
And this is
Kevin Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go here.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. With me today, Royce Young, how are you?
I'm good. I am very good. I'm in rainy Atlanta.
Oh, it's
looking
rainy.
Out. Yeah, I'm looking at my hotel room. Are they building like a new football stadium here? I think that's right, aren't they?
I think so.
It looks like, I don't know, I wish I could show everyone a picture of this thing I'm looking at out my hotel room there. It's like... I guess it, like, Google the architectural plans, everybody, and take a peep at this, because either they messed it up horribly or they are really trying to be modern. What's going on?
That's awesome. It's awesome. Have you ever been to the Varsity in Atlanta?
I haven't. What is that?
It's like an old school, like, kind of burger place, like a diner, and it's super. It's a really the food is okay, but it's an experience to go. You should go.
Is it in downtown?
Yes.
Well, geez, I wish I would have known. I just came back from Jersey Mike's because I was in a hurry.
Oh, ouch.
I know. I had the very incredible local Atlanta eatery, Jersey Mike's. Yeah. Here, it's great.
If you get a chance, you got to go to the Varsity.
Yeah. So well, good. If you guys get a chance next time you're in Atlanta, check out this little place called Jersey Mike's.
Check out.
This little deli.
This little sandwich place.
Little sandwich place. They got on Marietta Street.
When I think about Russell Westbrook, I think... Why was everyone so wrong about him before the beginning of the season? Like, everybody thought, you know, maybe, you know, there's no way he'll average a triple-double. I mean, most people that know a ton about the Thunder, like, that was the thought. Like, What made everybody so wrong about Russ?
I think for some reason the expectation with Russ that – From my perspective, is that people kind of, you know, he re-signed with the Thunder or re-extended or just extended. And I think people all of a sudden started like kind of ramping these, you know, expectations and hype on him. Like, oh, my gosh, Russell Westbrook's going to go crazy. And so then what you saw was like a reaction to the reaction. Mm-hmm. And so people started like the hype and the expectation of like Westbrook's going to go crazy. What's he going to do this season with the team all to himself? Like, could he average 78 points? And I think that like people started to kind of just bring all that down and try to like, this is what happens a lot with like, you know, NBA Twitter and social media and everything, is that like people try almost to like over reason, and I'm guilty of this myself. And so instead of like looking at something and just kind of playing it out as it is and saying, yeah, Russell Westbrook, you give him more possessions and everything, it's just going to naturally happen. It's like people just kind of try to like over common sense the situation. And I think that's what happened with Westbrook, is that people just kind of for some reason doubted the fact. And maybe what you're hinting at here, Andrew, and this might be an aspect of it, is that people thought that Westbrook's success was tied to Durant, mm-hmm. like specifically in the assist number. Because, and I was a little skeptical of that myself, is because if you look at the percentage of assists that Westbrook had to Durant, I mean, the bulk of Westbrook's assists were going to Kevin Durant. And now it's like, okay, so can he still get those same things, passing it to, you know, Victor Oladipo, Enes Kanter, Andre Roberson, and all those guys? There was, I think, a legit wonder if that would play out. But Westbrook's just, he's the best creator in basketball. So, I mean, yeah, anybody that really doubted that he was going to put up monster numbers feels a little bit silly now. Now, I was skeptical myself about averaging a triple-double. And I'm a believer now. At this point, it's like, wait, he's not going to – like, how is he not going to average one, you know?
But especially with how the rebounding was, that was the one where I was like, well, the Thunder have so many bigs. They want to play two traditional bigs all the time. There's no way he's going to get those numbers. But they have to play fast. Like, if they don't play fast, they can't win. And so and if Russ is the one that's rebounding the ball, that's – the fastest way to play. And I think they just they clear out for him to rebound so that he can run, and that's why I think it's sustainable. Unless there's some big trade where this team, you know, massively changes, I honestly don't see why he's not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they removed two of their better rebounders off the team in Ibaka and Durant, and then, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, and you know, I'm probably guilty of this as well, but like you look at a guy like Stephen Adams and you're like, well, he's not averaging enough rebounds. You're like, what, I think he's at like 7.8 a game. It's like, yeah, you know, take five of those and hand them to him that Westbrook's grabbing. You know, your point guard's not supposed to be pulling in 17 for crying out loud. But I think that is kind of the beauty of the dynamic of the team, and that's one of the reasons that Adams is such a perfect fit playing alongside Westbrook, because that Adams doesn't give a crap. Like he, right. I'm telling you, it is one of the more unique traits of a player, especially a big man, to not care about rebounds. Like, I mean, there's so many examples, but you know, Kendrick Perkins, for the selfless guy that he was, the great leader, the great locker room guy, it irritated him to no end when Westbrook would come in and take a rebound from him, and it made him mad. And you know, for a lot of guys, kind of rightfully so, because they understand, you know, my reputation and my potential payday is tied to these numbers, and you know, you're coming in here and taking them away from me. Adams doesn't care, and in a lot of ways, Domantas Sabonis as a rookie doesn't care. I think Enes Kanter probably cares to a degree, but for the most part, like, Westbrook is doing a good job of keeping everybody happy. He's setting them up. I don't think anybody could accuse Westbrook of any kind of selfishness or ball hoggery at this point. So I think the dynamic is what is making it work as much as anything else.
Yeah, and that on Adams, I think that it almost goes in the other direction, that it helps him so much because he is so selfless that other teams see that and they're like, oh, well, we could use a guy who is like fringe all-star level, who's also very selfless and ready to do whatever he can for the team.
Right.
And that kind of helps his value in the opposite way that the stats do. But one thing that Russell Westbrook...
It's a funny thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, to that point, that's a good point, because it's a funny thing, because everybody, you know, wants that kind of guy. You know, like they want that kind of guy that is like selfless and team first and doesn't care about the numbers. But what's the guy that always gets paid? It's the guy that puts up the numbers. Yeah. You know, so I mean, it's like this weird dichotomy there.
Yeah, it is. One thing that Russ has been, I don't know, I've been so impressed with him, but the thing that has been most impressive to me when looking at the numbers is the kind of shots that the Thunder are generating, that they're second in attempts and corner threes and second in makes, and they're shooting 42% from the corners. They're also first in field goal attempts and makes in the restricted area, which those are like the two shots that the Thunder especially need. And a lot of people had questions about their offense and their spacing and their shooting. I mean, they have shown to be way better than anyone could have predicted. I think there's still some analysis out there. People are saying that, you know, the Thunder can't shoot. But if you look at this roster, they're way better than I thought they would be. You have Victor Oladipo, who's 10th in attempts from the corner, shooting 57%. Robertson, who's 21st in attempts of anyone in the NBA from the corner, which is super weird. He's shooting 38.5% on those shots. And then Sabonis, who is a guy that people didn't think could shoot threes when he came into the league, he's 52nd in attempts from the corner at 47.6%. Like, they've got guys that can hit shots. And then I didn't even talk about Joffrey. He hadn't taken a ton of corner threes, but he's shot them really well. The Thunder aren't as bad a shooting team. And then you add Anthony Morrow back into the mix, who's a consistent shooter. Is the Thunder shooting, is that maybe way overblown as like an issue?
Well, I think at this point, as we've seen it played out, I mean, the numbers you laid out they're kind of hard to argue with. I think the thing that has helped that more than anything else is Victor Oladipo is exceeding expectations. And he's probably not shooting at a sustainable rate, especially from the corners. I mean, near 60% is just ridiculous. But I mean, Oladipo, you know, look at his numbers, his catch and shoot numbers and his corner shooting from the second half of last season with the Magic. It's up there. You know, he's a better shooter than I think people give him credit for. You know, kind of the book on Oladipo always has been is that he doesn't get to the rim enough, and when he does, he doesn't finish well enough. And, you know, I think that he's had those issues some in Oklahoma City, but it is an interesting thing with the way that this Thunder half-court offense is. And, you know, it's not that great. I think that, honestly, against the Pelicans, it was the best that the offense has looked this season, even though they didn't necessarily rack up the points. But the first half, the ball movement, the spacing, the player movement was just really on point. But, you know, they're going to have their struggles just because against the Pelicans, they didn't make any shots. I mean, they scored 102 points, and they started out 0 of 15 from 3. So, and a lot of those were good looks. So, I mean, there are going to be times I think that this team is going to, like, blatantly struggle shooting the ball, But there are other times I think that they have certainly exceeded expectations. And when you kind of watch them play, I think that and I don't necessarily know that this is by design, but I think it's just kind of the natural thing that's happening. They remind me a lot of the Houston Rockets from two seasons ago, the team that went to the Western Conference Finals. The way the Thunder kind of designed, James Harden did two things exceedingly well with that team, which was create corner threes, or just threes in general for his teammates, and then get into the restricted area and score. That's what Westbrook is doing, and the kind of the players surrounding Westbrook are kind of similar. Like, you know, Sabonis is kind of your Monte Yunus. Is his name DeMontis too?
It's Donatus.
Donatus. Oh, yes. I was like, it's confusing the heck out of myself there. But he's kind of Sabonis-ish, you know, or Terrence Jones was, or even Josh Smith. I mean, I hate to throw that comparison on to DeMontis Sabonis, but I mean, you get the general idea. Like, you're kind of stretched four. That's a pretty good corner 3-point shooter. Adams is Dwight Howard-ish, you know. I mean, it's kind of that similar design, and I think it can be successful in today's NBA. That Rockets team had better shooters, but the Thunder are still growing, improving. They're going to probably make some more moves along the line. So I think that the offense is better right at this point than I thought it would be. The defense is not quite as good as I thought it would be, but the offense is better than I thought.
Now, if the Thunder can just get the Clippers to just crumble like they did against the Rockets and get to the Western Conference Finals, we'd be in business, which is very possible.
I think so. And, you know, I was talking about this with Fred Katz the other day. I think the Thunder match up well with the Clippers. I really do. I just think that if the Thunder caught them in a second-round series, I'm not saying I picked the Thunder to win, but I can see that going six or seven games. For one, I think Westbrook's got a mental edge over Chris Paul. I really do. You've got Andre Robertson who can guard Paul and give him problems. Blake Griffin is the issue for the Thunder. You know, you'd have Steven Adams on him, and without Serge Ibaka, I think Blake Griffin gives you a lot more problems than in the past. But I think the Thunder can guard the Clippers, and if Westbrook can just play four perfect games, I think the Thunder can beat him.
They could. And you had Jeremy Grant in there, who Blake Griffin isn't just like destroying people anymore. Like he's not diving to the basket anymore. And maybe this is something very stupid to say, but I think Jeremy Grant in that situation could be really
a better player than Blake Griffin. Oh, no. That's not what you're going to say. Huh?
His shooting numbers have been so crazy this year.
Hit a dagger last night.
It's so strange. People still don't talk about him like he's a good shooter, but he's third in true shooting percentage on the team right now.
Good from the corners.
Yeah, he's been great from the corners. He hadn't shot a ton of them, but he's 39% from three for the season, which is slowly going down because he was at like 60% with the Thunder. But I like him. I like that pickup.
The Ilyasova move was a little bit controversial to some people because it was like, I do think that the Thunder got worse, if only slightly, making the move in the immediate future. I mean, Ilyasova was something that they needed. You know, he was a true stretch four that could shoot. And this is what I said about this trade all along is that, but the Thunder weren't looking to get better for tomorrow night's game. I mean, that's just not the position that they're in right now. So they gave up Ilyasova, who's 29 on an expiring deal, and they get the player who's rights that they can control for the long term. I think, what is Grant, 23 or 24, maybe?
He's 22.
He's 22. 22 even. So, yeah, and I mean, bouncy, athletic, fits the Thunder profile. It's in terms of are they better right now than they were? Maybe not, but I don't think that that's the point. I don't think that's the way fans should approach these type of moves.
Well, something that's been confusing to me is the Thunder's offensive and defensive ratings. Like, they have just fluctuated like crazy since the beginning of the season. Do you think this team will finish as a better offensive or defensive team in April?
I think that they're probably going to be a better offensive team, and which is going to flip-flops back from, I think, kind of the expectation. But, you know, I don't really have a great reason for that. I think that my guess is that with them shooting a little bit better, as we covered, than expected, because a lot of opposing teams are, you know, kind of packing the paint, building a wall, and daring the Thunder to beat them from the perimeter. And if the Thunder continue to shoot fairly well, I think that that opens up a lot more within the offense. You know, you haven't, and it started to happen a little bit more recently, but, you know, one of the reasons Steven Adams hasn't been quite the pick and roll option for Westbrook in these first 21 games is because teams, you know, that weak side corner help defender is crashing down on Adams on the roll and, like, basically daring Westbrook to kick to a 3-point shooter on the perimeter. And, you know, they're just kind of bracketing the Thunder's roll men. And since Adams isn't a pop guy, there's no threat of that. So, you know, I don't know that they've even completed a lob yet this year, and they probably had 25 of them last year. I think that that type of stuff is going to open up more and more if the Thunder continue to shoot well. And so I would probably lean towards the offensive end.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they've been getting a ton of shots in restricted area. Like I said, within 5 feet, they're first in attempts from there. And they're only 11th in field goal percentage. They're only at 61.3%. And you got to think that that's going to get better. Some of that, I feel like, is that Adams' hand is getting better. Unfortunately, his ankle, yeah. His ankle, right. His ankle last night. But he... He looked great offensively before that happened. He had like 7 points in 9 minutes, and he was hitting that. He had that little hook shot and was dunking again. So I think that as like his hand gets better, I see the Thunder shooting better around the rim. But that was really disappointing that he got hurt last night.
Yeah, I don't think it's too severe though.
Yeah. Do you think? What do you think? What are the chances that he plays tonight? Do you think?
I don't know. Adams walked down on the court after the game, didn't have a boot on, no crutches, no nothing, slight limp. It's one of those things that, you know, and I'm no doctor here, guys. I don't know if everybody knows that. But, you know, you never know how an ankle like that's going to react when you get on an airplane a couple, you know, hours later. And did it swell up even more today? Ennis Kanter was pretty confident, it seemed post-game, that Steven would play. Mm-hmm. But and, you know, they certainly need him against the Hawks. But I don't know. I'd say it's probably 50-50 at this point.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see Joffrey get some extended run tonight if he doesn't play.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. You know, what's the starting five? Because if Adams doesn't play, you know, LaVern started the second half last night, but he only played for like 90 seconds, and then Donovan yanked him for Kanter. So I don't know what, you know, bad journalism in here by me, but I forgot to even ask Billy about why that happened. But I was kind of like wrapped up in this guy that keeps getting triple doubles, and that's like all that's on my mind.
Joffrey LaVern isn't the forefront story of the Thunder. LaVern.
You know, I know that that's shocking, but yeah.
What do you think about Joffrey? I've been impressed.
Yeah, he's playing. I mean, especially as he's a stretch four, essentially, in a lot of ways. You know, he's and that was when the Thunder made the move. That was kind of the player that they had in mind. That was a vision that they had in their advanced scouting, is that they felt like that LaVern, you know, he was good in the mid range, was not necessarily a good 3-point shooter for the Nuggets, but he was a good mid range pick and pop guy for the Nuggets. And they felt like that they could extend that out to the 3-point line. And he's done that, and he's done that well. I think he's a pretty solid pick and roll defender. You know, he's not, you know, he's not any kind of rim protector or anything. He's an average rebounder, and he passes the ball all right. So I mean, he's just a nice, serviceable four man to have in your rotation. You know, especially considering the Thunder gave up, you know, basically nothing to get him. I think that, you know, it's a very quality pickup, and you know, they would not have made the move. I mean, they wanted LaVern's minutes to go to Mitch McGarry. That's what they wanted. And they thought that that was going to happen. And Mitch McGarry is just a big dumb idiot that kept doing stupid things. And I mean, not to go on a McGarry tangent, and I love Mitch. Like, Mitch is, I mean, he's a sweetheart. He's a great, great dude. But like, how dumb can you be? Did you see the other day that he retweeted somebody about somebody's story about Steve Kerr saying that they need to legalize medical marijuana in the NBA or something? And it's like, Mitch, no. You idiot. Stop it.
Do you want to be back in the NBA?
Oh, good grief. Like, talk about not getting it. Anyway, but yeah, LaVern, I think, has been a nice addition to the team, for sure.
Did Mitch McGarry just completely fool Sam Presti in the draft process?
I guess. And you know, McGarry's talent was – you could not ignore how much of it he had. I mean, seriously, think about the best of – like the potential of Mitch McGarry on this Thunder team as, you know, pick and roll four man with Westbrook. McGarry has 3-point range, and him catching, being able to, you know, do a lot of the same things that Sabonis does. Now, McGarry's not near as good a defender as Sabonis already is, but – you know, McGarry as the energy guy, being able to catch, take two dribbles, pass the ball, find corner shooters. I mean, McGarry would be a nice fit on this Thunder team, a nice offensive weapon. And I think the Thunder just saw it as like he was an immature kid at Michigan and he was going to grow out of some stuff. And they got him, they thought, you know, we'd get him in the culture and he'd, you know, sort himself out and he'd be all right. And I would say that that's one of Presti's bigger draft whiffs.
Yeah. And Sabonis just seems to be McGarry with his head screwed on straight.
Right. And I mean, I'm going to go back and look. You probably know off the top of your head because you're more in tune with these type of things. But who are the who got drafted behind Mitch McGarry?
Rodney Hood.
Who were the? Yeah, it was. That's what I thought. I wanted to say that, but I wasn't totally sure.
That was one of the guys where it was just like, oh, come on. I mean, and even at the time, it was a stretch for that. I mean, Kyle Anderson, another guy. I mean, yeah, Kyle Anderson's okay.
Yeah, you don't need Kyle Anderson. I mean, no. Would you rather have Kyle Anderson than the non-existent body of Mitch McGarry, then yes. Rodney Hood is definitely a whiff.
That's a huge whiff. And, I mean, that's a guy who, if Rodney Hood is on the Thunder last season.
Clint Capella.
Yeah. I mean, that's another guy that you would much rather have than a guy who's not in the NBA.
Yeah, but Rodney Hood starting at shooting guard for the Thunder last year.
I mean, the Thunder, they win the title. I mean, they do. Thanks a lot, Mitch McGarry.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of, you know, Glenn Robinson's been okay, I guess, lately. But
yeah, he would. You know. He probably wouldn't have played for the Thunder last year.
Yeah. And there's not a whole lot of players where, Hood is like the guy, Capella, looking through this, Samaj Christian, Josh Eustace, and Jeremy Grant.
You want to give Sam Presti a hard time for whiffing on Rodney Hood, but tons of teams missed on him. The Grizzlies took Jordan Adams over.
Yeah, I mean, that's what every team's fan base obsesses over, these type of things. I'm like, what if you took this guy? What if it's like, you know, what if the Thunder took Draymond Green in 2011 or whenever he got picked?
Right.
Like, yeah. So what? What if, you know, 30 or 29 other teams that passed on him did too? I mean, you can. It's just there's a reason everybody did, and everybody made the mistake. I mean, people did it with Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and Serge Ibaka, and, you know, Russell Westbrook got picked fourth overall. Three teams could have taken him. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you can what if that all day long.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson.
I'm still watching it. Just a run him.
Yeah, I know. It's still that argument still doesn't help me feel better about Ron Hood. Cameron Payne. Any word about him? About his comeback? How has he looked when you've seen him? Like at the end of practice?
I think he's getting close. You know, I saw him last night pregame, and he was in shorts and a t-shirt and basketball shoes. So I think he's doing some light workouts. I don't really have any like true information about it as of now. The Thunder were pretty vague about like when he would be actually reevaluated. They said, you know, the timetable was a little bit indefinite. But as far as I know, no setbacks. There's nothing to suggest that, you know, that it's going to be an extended timetable from what we already knew. But the Thunder absolutely, I mean, that's something that people have kind of overlooked in this, and not that Cameron Payne's like some star player that like they desperately, desperately need, but he's going to help them. I mean, he's going to help them a lot. I mean, he could shoot, he could create. You know, I think Samaj Christian has done an admirable job for basically having been a D League player for his entire career. You know, stepping in, he had 5 assists against the Pelicans. He's done some okay things, but I mean, he can't shoot a basketball, and he's not much of like a true offensive threat. Every now and then, I think Christian has worked okay, putting him in lineups alongside Westbrook, where, you know, teams at least fear Christian off the dribble a little bit because he can penetrate. And you know, he tries on defense. He's not necessarily a great defender, but he tries. You add Cameron Payne into where he's getting those, you know, he's getting 15 to 20 minutes a game. You play him alongside Westbrook. You let him run the second unit with Oladipo maybe out there at different times. That's going to make the Thunder better by just default.
Yeah, and their second unit has been something that's really struggled. In some games they've been good, but for the most part they've really struggled. And Cam is a guy who can run a really good pick and roll. He's going to keep defenses honest, and I think he's going to help Oladipo too if they're going to keep staggering Oladipo and Westbrook. That he's going to help them because he is a good spot-up shooter. And Samaj, he's just not really able to find guys all the time. He did a good job last night, but a lot of times he just pounds the ball, which is a problem.
I don't really know this. I haven't talked to a scout that's told me this or anything, but just by watching the way other teams defend them, I think most everybody is has zeroed in on the fact he's not a great ball handler because they pressure. I mean, he gets pressured with the ball as much as I think any player that you'll see as a ball handler. So I think that Samaj Christian's handle is just not that great. And because of that, I think he has a little bit of trouble. And I don't think he really beats guys off the dribble. So the teams just don't fear him in penetration. Now, again, I think that he's done an okay job, just considering from where he's come from and what he's being asked to do. But, you know, Cameron Payne is going to be a clear upgrade. You know, think about him in the second unit, you know, running heavy pick and roll with Enes Kanter. That is going to be a massive upgrade because Kanter, you know, while you can just dump the ball down to him and hope he can go get points, where he's at his best is in the pick and roll and pick and pop. And that's, you know, somebody creating for him is where he's really dynamic. Christian doesn't really do that. So having Payne doing that would be a big upgrade.
Last time we talked, we discussed Cam not being really in the future plans for the Thunder. Do you feel the same? Do you feel differently?
I don't think that – I mean, I feel the same just because I don't think any player – you're going to put a check mark next to their name other than at this point, I really would say just Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, and Nick Collison are the three players that I would say definitively will not be traded by the Thunder. So, you know, I think that Presti views most of the rest of the roster. You know, I don't think Oladipo is getting traded. I think that they like what they have in Victor Oladipo. I don't think that they're going to trade Andre Robertson. I think they like what they have, even though he might not completely fit with this current roster. I think that the way Robertson's defended, and hey, say this real quietly, everybody, but he's actually doing some things on offense. Don't say it too loud now. You know, people, not to go on a Robertson tangent here, but like people have got to quit looking at the results of the three and the fact that maybe one didn't hit the rim or was ugly as could be, and look at the production. I had some guy complaining to me. He sent me like 5 tweets the other night. This was maybe like 2 weeks ago. And it was like, if Robertson could just hit a couple of these every now and then, it would be a bit like, okay, what has he done? He's hit like, I don't know what it is, off the top of my head, like probably 6 of his last 13 from three. I would think that qualifies as a couple of these. You know, he's not a great shooter. Teams, the biggest problem with him is that teams don't respect it, so therefore it kind of compromises the offensive structure. But like he's scoring points. He had 13 points against the Pelicans, and he's doing a lot in transition. He's good on the offensive glass. You cannot just say that he's a complete offensive negative at this point. 13 points is production. So anyway, that was a huge tangent on who could be traded. I'm just so sick of with what Robertson gives you on the defensive end. I mean, that to me, he's first team all defensive level this year.
I don't know how you complain about him. I mean, he's fourth in 3-pointers made on the team. He's 32% from three, which is much better than he was last year. And he's third in attempts from three, which just attempting them for Robertson is really good. Because last year, I mean, he was just scared to even take them.
Right.
And that he's taking them with confidence. And we talked about this.
You said they're 40% from the corners, right?
Yeah, he's 38.5% from the corners.
That's good. I mean, I wouldn't say great, but like it's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been good, and I talked about this on Friday that the Andre Robertson timely three in a close game has become a thing.
And yeah, I mean, when he steps into him without thinking and with confidence, then so what does this percentage say again to me? His overall percentage?
32%.
32%. So here's some players shooting 32% from three this year. Jamal Crawford, Isaiah Thomas, Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe, Nick Batum, Gordon Hayward, Jordan Clarkson. Kent Bazemore is shooting 30% from three, by the way, which is a player Thunder fans thought, oh my gosh, the Thunder got to get Kent Bazemore. Tony Snell. I mean, you can go down the line here. Vince Carter shooting 27%, 28%. Marcus Smart, 27.7%. I mean, so when you talk about Andre Robertson and you act like he's some trash shooter, like, yes, some of them are very ugly and are quite embarrassing and hard to watch. But it's not as if he's just a complete negative.
No, he's gotten better. He's gotten a lot better.
Devin Booker, 33%, guys. Devin Booker, 33%. I mean, right.
Well, Anthony Morrow's at 29% for the season.
He was at 0% for a long time.
I know he was. That did not help his cause. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. after just watching him this season, the way he shut down Carmelo and Andrew Wiggins and James Harden, like, even if he was hitting 25% of his threes, I don't know how you can complain about that guy. Like, he's giving maximum effort, and he's doing great.
The Thunder do not beat the Knicks. They do not beat the Rockets. They do not beat the Suns. You go down the list, they do not beat a lot of these teams. They probably beat the Timberwolves, but he's still locked up Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Robertson has, you know, yes. Would the Thunder be much, much better if he had, like, Jimmy Butler level offensive skill? Yeah, they'd be a lot better. I'm not going to argue with that. Or if he was a true Kawhi Leonard and he blossomed into an offensive stud, yeah, that would be beneficial to the Thunder. But you can't ignore the fact that he has an elite skill on the defensive end, and he is a big part, I think, in the Thunder winning basketball games.
Yep. Last season, the untradeable Jay Crowder was shooting 33% from three, not far off from where Robertson is today.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
really, you know, as crazy as it is, you made this point just a second ago, Andrew, it might be that he needs to take more of them. I mean, seriously, like, as much as Thunder fans might not like to hear that, maybe he needs to take more of them.
I think he does, because as he grows in confidence, like, you can just, I don't know, just at the end of those games, I think he's hit like two or three of those threes within the last 5 minutes of a game where he just swishes it. And it's what it's what Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were yelling at him all last season, just shoot the ball. Right. He's finally doing it, and you really can't argue with the results from a guy who played power forward in college. Like, he's been good.
Like I said, I think people kind of, and it's hard not to get wrapped up in the fact that it's an ugly air ball.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the baseball adage. Like, you know, it might have been a pop up that fell in, you know, in the game, but it's a line drive in the box score, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it might be an air ball in the game, but it's just a missed three in the box score. That's all it is. It's the same as if it rattled in and out.
Any predictions for the Thunder tonight on a back-to-back in Atlanta? Atlanta has been so bad. I think they've lost like 9 of 10 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic, honestly. I think that, you know, the Thunder won a back-to-back. Who'd they beat in the back? But it was at home. It was against the Pistons, right? Yep. I think that's I don't have my Thunder history down here. I think that might be the only second night of a back-to-back they've won this year.
They lost to Golden State on the first one. Detroit, they lost to on their second
Kings.
One. Kings. And then they beat Detroit.
So road back-to-backs have not been kind for the Thunder. And, you know, while this team, I think, is solid, I think this is a solid team. What I think that Thunder fans, and I think we talked about this before, is that when you're just in that, like, above-average tier, these games are hard.
Yeah.
Like, going on the road for a second night of a back-to-back, they're not easy. When you're just kind of like an ordinary average team in the NBA, you don't walk into these expecting to win. The Thunder for the last 5 to 6 years, they expected to walk in and win these games because they were going to have the two best players on the court almost every time out. So second night of back-to-backs were kind of like, yeah, I expect to see them win just because they're the better team. And that's just not the case. They need to play, you know, the Thunder have to beat teams with effort, intensity, and do the little things right. And those are the type of things that you often lose on the second night of a back-to-back. So especially if Adams doesn't play, I'm not optimistic about it. I think that they'll be competitive. But what it comes down to in these type of games is that Russell Westbrook has to be darn near perfect. And that's a lot to ask out of the guy. Other than maybe, you know, the Thunder just being really hot and hitting like 13 or 14 threes or something.
Yeah, which is possible. But yeah, you kind of look at these as schedule losses. I don't think the Thunder had a ton of schedule losses, like you said, whenever you're a top tier team. But when you're just an okay team that's going to be like a middle of the pack Western Conference team, schedule losses are real.
Yeah, they happen. And you know, if the Thunder walk out and lose tonight, there's going to be people that are frustrated and saying, how could you lose to a team that's slumping like – and it's just what happens. It's just – it's hard to show up and win. It was a tough physical game last night in Oklahoma City. I would be impressed if the Thunder came out and won this game.
Yeah. Royce, thanks for coming on the podcast today. You want to plug anything besides Jersey Mike's?
Man, let me tell you. That little place, Jersey Mike's, they got a thing going down here in Atlanta. I'd like to see them maybe expand, maybe to the Midwest or something. But no, that's my place.
Awesome. Thanks for coming to the podcast. Enjoy the game tonight. You already follow Royce Young. Follow us on Twitter @DTD Podcast. And thanks for listening.